Welcome to Grace Believers Bible Study. Thank you very much for tuning in. And what you got there, George?
I've got some statements. What we can use.
Okay. You know, there's a scripture, and we're not going to go to it yet, but I want to go to it. I used this in Op the other night. It was about being born again. And I had a preacher sitting in there. Matter of fact, I've got two that go up there. But one of them mentioned about being born again. And then I had two new people come back to Op that I haven't saw in over a year. Well, about a year and a half. They stayed about 8 or 10 times. And one of them was married to a preacher who's now deceased. And she went with him, and I don't know what denomination she is or was, but if I had to guess, it's going to be the Church of God. Now, why would I guess the Church of God? Because when the husband goes through the ordination service of the Church of God, the woman goes through it too. It does, from Cleveland, Tennessee. They are a group together. He's the pastor, but she knows. And I believe this woman is one of those. She quotes the scripture just like that. She knows, but she absolutely knows nothing about rightly dividing the word of truth. I was just told the other night, about Tuesday night, I was talking about Job. See, Job believed in resurrection. If you don't believe it, read it. He's talking about even after the worms eat this body, that he is going to see his Savior in the flesh. Now, you know, we know that's a spiritual flesh. That's not flesh as we know it today with blood in it. But Job said that. And then the boy said, hey, look. He said, you know, Job taught the same thing Paul taught. Oh, he did. Well, I didn't know that. And I still don't know that. And that's not true according to the scriptures. Why is it not true? Because Paul talked about the revelation of the mystery in Romans 16, 25, and 26. Job never ever mentioned that. But it goes to show, and what I'm trying to make an impression upon you before I start into this lesson, is the fact you can teach the people for a year. And you know this, and you're going to hear it twice again today, at least, the salvation message. You can show them every service. You can answer all their questions. And until the Holy Spirit shows them the truth, convicts them so much that they are in need of a Savior, they're just going to, your words are going to fall on deaf ears. Doesn't mean the word of the Lord will come back bang. That's not true because the Bible says it won't. But it seems like it does to us humans. But how come we're not getting through to these people, see? But we are getting through. As far as the Lord is concerned, we don't walk around with a little Bible that's got notches on the side and say, you know, got Harry saved. Oh, Dave's saved. And then you can count this while you're here. You don't know anything about it and won't know anything about it until you get to the judgment seat of Christ. But you've got preachers who, that's what they want to do. That's their big game. They're soul winners. We're not soul winners. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ and God the Father is the soul winner, not us. We're just a vessel that's being utilized. And I might say this, we are sinful vessels. They aren't. How can a sinful person such as myself teach you some righteousness out of the book? It's because the Holy Spirit has called me and He's called other men to do that, to teach this. Paul said, planted a seed. Apollos watered, and the Holy Spirit giveth the increase. That's what it does. Not like all these churches try to tell you it is. How about going over to Acts chapter 3, would you? In Acts chapter 3, more than that, we're going to talk about Peter here and something that you might be interested in. In the book of Acts, he charges Israel with murder. Does he preach the gospel as good news? The gospel that he knows, does he preach it as good news? Absolutely not. He knows the gospel of the circumcision, the gospel of the kingdom. He doesn't preach that as good news. Not one iota. What does he say about it? He doesn't even glory in the cross. Do you glory in the cross? I do. I hate that we're such despicable human beings that Jesus Christ had to go to the cross for us. But the fact of it is, you better glory that he got crucified. Does that sound horrible? No, it doesn't, because without him dying on the cross, you're going to be lost in hell. Why? Because Romans 5:12 tells you, for by one man, sin entered into the world. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Now, but you got something to do with your eternal life. We'll probably talk a little bit about the second service. But I want you to see, I glory in the cross of Christ, in the finished work of the cross of Christ. But what did Peter do? He preached the cross as a shame. I've told you this before, I'm going to tell you again. And hopefully he'll watch this video sometime. Thomas Fleming lives in Wyoming. He's a friend of mine. He's a mercenary. He loves killing people. Really, that's the truth. He said, he told me when I was living up in Op, and we had a surge station, he used to come by there all the time, the whole town was afraid of him. Except me, and I told him the truth, and he loved that. He loved people that could tell the truth. Even though he was wrong, he said, you know, if I'd have been there in AD 33, if I'd have had my M16, I'd have killed all them Jews. I'd have stopped the crucifixion. Do you think he knows what the cross is about? Glory in the cross. Honest to God. But that's what he said, Acts chapter 3, verse 17. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. What kind of ignorance? You didn't know he was the king. You didn't know he was going to set up the kingdom. It's through your ignorance, you idiots. The nation of Israel is who he's talking about. Now, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. It was in the book. It was in the book. Nicodemus didn't even know. And he was a master of Israel. A teacher. Probably started about 5 years of age. How old are they, Joe, when they start teaching them in the synagogue? The Judaizers.
About 4 or 5, by the way.
They've been taught. Even Nicodemus didn't know why Christ came. But how come they couldn't read? Because it was in the prophets. How come they couldn't read? Well, this man's going to be born in Bethlehem. This man of Nazareth. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. And it's just fulfilling Scripture all the way up. They couldn't see it. Could not see it. Now, Peter charges Israel with murder of their king. That's what I want you to say. But he said, hey, you know, you get it in ignorance. Now, look what he says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. You don't have to do this, but this is what he told those people. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. But he didn't say you have your atonement like we've got in Romans. What is that? Romans chapter, what is it? 7? Verse, is it 5? 5:11, I believe. I'm going to look it up. I can't believe I just missed that. Oh, it's right. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We have now received it. Back in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He said that your sins may be blotted out. That not that they are blotted out. This is what he was talking to Peter. Peter was talking to these Israelites about. The Jews. You know, there wasn't any Gentiles there he was talking to. He was talking to the Jews. Now, let's look at this thing again. So, when will those sins be blotted out? And the times of refreshing, and we're going to get that. So what happened is Jesus Christ had been crucified. He was buried. He was resurrected from the dead. He also ascended into heaven with a promise that one day He was going to come back and set up what? His kingdom on earth. That's that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ that we know about. He's going to be their Messiah. They're going to be... But Peter says, He's your Messiah. Be identified with Him in water baptism. And there's going to be a future day when He's coming back. And in Acts chapter 3, verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Not kept secret is Romans 16, 25 and 26, but spoken by all the holy prophets since the world began. Now, I want you to see something here, and we're going to talk about this. We're talking about in the early part of Acts, when Peter was speaking here, the very thing Christ had proclaimed Himself. What is that? It's the acceptable year of the Lord. We're going to look at some scriptures here in Luke here. Matter of fact, why don't you go on down to Luke. Open your book up to Luke. But see, Christ prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? The Father answered Him right there on the spot. He gave them one more year. He didn't just deny them. He gave them one more year, and it's called the acceptable year of the Lord. We know that none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, there was one additional year that was given unto the nation of Israel to repent and say, look, I know I have a change of heart, be water baptized and say, hey, that right there is my Messiah. I'm ready to accept Him as my King. As my King. Now, Luke 13, verse 6. We're going to talk about this parable real quick that specifies about this acceptable year of the Lord. In Luke 13, 6, He spake also this parable. Jesus did. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and saw fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it to the ground? Why let it grow then? But you notice there's a time period in here. How long was Jesus Christ walking around down here? 3 years. It says 3 years, and I don't find any fruit. Verse 18, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it and dung it. Dung it is fertilize it. Let's make it grow. Let's see if it can become fruitful.
That was verse 8, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 9, and if it bear fruit, in other words, if I can get these Israelites, these Jews, to trust in the King, then well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And you know what? It took very few of those Jews actually trusted or believed on the name at that time of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're called the little flock that Peter was preaching to in Luke 12:32. But what you're going to have is Peter preaching again. You've crucified the King. He's taken the kingdom away. Now there's a way that we can get it back. If you just believe on His name, He's going to give us 1 year. That's what that parable is about. One more year to bear fruit. And you know what? It didn't. It did not bear fruit. So if you would, go over to Acts chapter 2. I want you to see, it's going to be talking about that church. What church is that? It's the church at Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It started in Matthew 16, verse 18, but I want you to see all churches in the Bible are not the same church. There was a church in the wilderness. There was a church at Jerusalem. And we are saved into a body, a spiritual, invisible body called the church, the body of Christ, which was also a mystery. So I know of three churches. But why do people go out there, distort the scriptures, because someone else has talked to them, told them, preached to them, doctors of philosophy? Oh my God, that just makes me want to... Well, I just can't say that word. Now here's the thing. I'm going to tell you, I cannot stand theological schools. I want to depart from this for a second. I got to thinking about this yesterday. Theology. You go to a seminary. Who come up with that information that they teach? Who come up with that information, Richard?
Alexandria, Catholic Church.
Mankind came up with what they teach. They sure did. And he's right. All these cults, all of them come from the Alexandrian occult. But the fact of it is, when you go to a seminary, somebody had to develop their curriculum. Man did it. I don't see God doing it. If he had it, don't you think he'd have put it in the King James Bible? This is what you need to teach. Man, dog. Man's doing that. So why do I want to go to a seminary? I had my cousin. The reason I'm thinking about this, my cousin's going to come over and spend 3 weeks with me. And I was with him this week in Gainesville, Florida. So he said, well, I don't think I'm going to come over. He had already, he's got a PhD in engineering, a double. And he said, about 6 months ago, he said, I think I'm going to go to a seminary. I said, what in the hell do you want to do that for? I really, that's what I told him. Well, that just took him aback. Because he's a good Methodist. I said, they're not going to teach you anything there. And my point is, just like I said, men wrote that. Just like men write the Southern Baptist Convention's doctrine. They write the United Methodist doctrine and the Presbyterian doctrine and all that Church of God stuff that we talked about earlier, doctrine. Men wrote it. We could all, if you wanted to, just sit down and write us some doctrine based upon what they've got and kind of improve it. Forget about rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't want that. We want a lot of people in here. So we'll just forget about rightly dividing the word of truth. We'll tickle their ears. We'll make them feel good about themselves. Come on, Jim, give me some good ideas. Let's get them in here. You know what? We can actually charge. We can start a school. We can charge them money to come in here and we can teach them. And if it's through, we can give them a certificate of completion out of here. And if we work hard enough on it, we can get us a certification. And they will be preachers when they leave here. That's junk. Men are called. You don't sit there and formulate it. You're called. I'm not going to tell you. Just like I told Pat Tuesday night, she asked me some questions. She had a book. It was Rightly Dividing for Dummies. You've seen computers, books for dummies, Excel for dummies, those kind of things. She had a book. And I said, oh, no. And then I got to thinking, she's not new at this anymore. She got saved in my class going on 2 years ago. She studies Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. She goes to the conferences. She comes down here. She goes up there. She's on my Bible class. She goes to another Bible class of Jerry Sanders. She's into the Word. She is no longer a babe in Christ. She can stand strong stuff. She can sit there and look at a commentary now, and that's all that is. That Rightly Dividing for Dummies. You can look, and anybody in here now can look and read that. And you can discern what's right or wrong from that book. I don't advocate somebody reading it. But at the same time, if you're grown up in the Word, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you can discern between what's true in that book and what isn't. And that's how we discern what's true in this book versus a New King James. You read them, get a parallel Bible, read them side by side, get an NIV. You're going to be able to tell the difference. Because you know the truth now. But don't start out as a new Christian trying to read all these other versions. Perversions. You're not going to get it. Anyway, I've got off on what I was talking about. Acts chapter 2. I was talking about the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they, that's the Jews, that gladly received his word, that's Peter, were baptized. Now we're talking about into water. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, people. Howbeit, I want you to go to Acts 4, 4. I'm going to skip some stuff. I want you to just see how many was added. Acts 4, 4. Howbeit, many of them which had heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So we know 8,000 souls were added to the church. But it's not the church that started at Pentecost, because there was no church started at Pentecost. You go out here and travel to Pentecostal belief, the system of that. They ain't going to believe that. No way they're going to believe that. But the majority of the Jews did not repent and be baptized. That, of course, the Lord knew that from the before he made the first, spoke into existence the first grain of sand. He knew all this. This was not, he didn't change it. He don't change his mind as he goes along based upon human beings. He knows. He's already seen this movie, okay? He knows the end result of it. Because go to Romans 11, 11. And when these Jews did not believe what Peter was talking about, did not trust in the name of the Lord Jesus, then God sent somebody into this world, and his name was Paul as a chosen vessel. But in Romans 11, 11, which Paul the apostle wrote, he says this, talking about the Jews, I say then, how they stumble, that's the Jews, that they should fall. God forbid, but rather through their fall is come unto the Gentiles.
Salvation
is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. The restitution of all things was put on hold. The restitution of all things. Because you know, the little flock had sold all things and had all things in common. They were waiting, and they did know one thing. They knew about Jacob's trouble. They knew about the judgment of that 1 week left. They were waiting for it to happen because they knew the second coming was going to take place. And the end of that. That's called the end for them. They knew that. And in Zechariah 13, when the fountains of cleansing would be opened up, right there, and they would be saved. Restitution of all things. Now, verse 21 talks about whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The fulfillment of prophecy was put on hold. You got me? We're not in prophecy. We're in this dispensation of the grace of God called the grace, the dispensation of the grace of God with a gospel called the grace of God. It was called the gospel of Christ. Now it's called the gospel of the grace of God. Same gospel went to different people. But look at Romans 16:25. In contrast to what we were just reading, Peter was talking to the Jews about it. He said, now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel, that's God, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now you're going to find that Stephen was stoned in Acts chapter 7. This ended that one acceptable year of the Lord. He took it away right there at the stoning of Stephen. He's no, the king and the kingdom is no longer offered. Now, what did he do? Look at Acts chapter 8. I'm going to show you what took place there. Acts chapter 8. Because at this point in time, I will tell you, before we get to 8:1, is that after Acts chapter 12, when you see Peter talking, and then the next time you see him is in Acts chapter 15. And where do you see him after that in the book of Acts? Nowhere. He is never to be mentioned again in the book of Acts. What takes precedence? That new minister, that new apostle. It's all about Paul. in his ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. From direct revelation. That's what it's about. No longer Peter. No longer Peter. So in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul, from Tarsus, is who it's talking about, was consenting unto his death. That's unto Stephen's death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. All the Jews left. If you'll notice something, in Acts chapter 2, all tribes were there at Pentecost. You heard them get scattered back many, many hundreds of years before, but they were all there at Pentecost. But here's where they got scattered again, and they have never been brought back together again, yet. But they will be. But they will be. And how do I know that? There's Jews right here. We may have one in here. If you did a DNA on him, he may be a Jew. He don't even know what tribe he belongs to. But God knows. God knows what tribe a Jew downtown here, or down in the lobby, or in one of these rooms. If there's a Jew here, he's still scattered. But it came from the scattering right here. But who stayed in Jerusalem? The apostles stayed in Jerusalem. They weren't afraid to go somewhere else. They took their life into their own hands by staying in Jerusalem. Because there were persecutions here. And who was it? Who was the ringleader of it? Our apostle. He wanted him dead. Them dead. Now, Acts chapter 26, would you please? Acts chapter 26. Now, verse 16. This is what the apostle Paul was talking to King Agrippa about when they had him arrested. He said, this is what Jesus Christ told me on the road to Damascus when he struck me down and blinded me. He says, this is what Christ said. But rise, Paul, I'll put that word there, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. So he made him a minister and a witness. Now, he showed him some things there. But he didn't show him everything. He had to tell him something. He had to tell him that, Paul, you're saved, even though you were a blasphemer of the Holy Spirit. And I know you couldn't be saved, and you got the sense enough to know now that I'm the risen Savior. And you know, not by the Scripture, but by Peter's teaching, that back in Matthew, that you couldn't be saved under the little flock's gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, or the gospel of the church. You can't be saved under that, Paul. But here I'm here as the risen Savior to tell you, I'm saving you. You're the first one I'm going to save in this new dispensation, this new administration. You're the first. But I'm not going to let you go out and tell anybody how you got it yet. I'm giving you that. He had to tell Paul how he knew he was saved. Because Paul is our pattern. And if he's the first in the body and he was saved in Acts chapter 9, Paul had to know how he was saved. But he didn't let him go out and teach until Acts 13. And that's when it was let out in Acts 13:38. His name was changed from that Hebrew name Saul to that what? Roman name Paul. He became our apostle. He was separated by the Holy Ghost, him and Barnabas, unto the work that were the four the Lord had called him to. And in verse 38 of Acts 13, he said it's for forgiveness of sins. He already knew that. He just couldn't say that. But with that knowledge Paul had, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 16. For though I preach the gospel, our apostle says, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, that's preach the gospel, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now let's look at that verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Can you see these preachers all the time glorying? They're glorying. You know, and it reverts back to that woman I was telling you about earlier before we started the service. She told me, she said, you know, brother so-and-so. I said, no, ma'am, I don't. She said, well, my seed money goes to him. And he set up a church, and he never thought he'd get a church. But my seed money. This woman is mid-80s or late-80s, and she's taken probably just about every dime she's got. And she's playing it to seed money to somebody. You know, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. But this irritates me. I can't even tell you how many numbers fold to see somebody taken advantage of because you got a pastor or preacher that says, you know, you need to donate seed money. You've got to help us in this heart. Well, them people ought to turn around and start trusting Jesus Christ for their seed money and let the Lord, the Holy Spirit, give the increase, as we said. Help us in the harvest. That's the Lord's responsibility. We're supposed to teach it. I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, at that point in time, we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back and talk some more about this.